at 8:07 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Got the junk piled up around the house, and you made a pledge for the new year to get organized around the house. First step to getting organized is getting rid of the stuff you don't need to organize, the junk. That's why you need my buddy Trey Bennett and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Mobile County, Baldwin County, commercial properties, residential properties, storage units outside your house. I mean, they've moved things like swing sets and above-ground pools and storage sheds. They can handle it all. You got junk, you need it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And they are online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You'll agree on a day and an actual time on that day for the appointment, not a spectrum of time, and the crew will come by and do their work quickly. They are very efficient, and the price they quote you, that's the price you pay, whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not. So go online, make that reservation to get the junk gone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Speaking of which, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, sponsors of our online opinion poll question, how do you feel about the state of our union? You know, most likely you'll hear a president, President Trump or others, say the state of the union is strong. How do you feel? 60% of y'all say strong. 40% say improving. Nobody has said weak or declining. You can vote online, front page of fmtalk1065.com. All right, it is a Tuesday. That means we check in with Quinn Hillier from quinnhillier.com. Also, read his work, Washington Examiner. You can just Google his name and that, and you'll get a plethora of information, plus Mad Jones Heretic Trilogy waiting for you right now over at Amazon. Hey, Quinn, did I miss anything?
Nope. Appreciate all the mentions.
All right. So, you said, hey, there was a bombshell yesterday in the Mueller investigation, and we all missed it. What was that?
Roger Stone's attorney, Roger Stone being the guy who was arrested a couple of weeks ago in that over-the-top raid that we've talked about, he released something yesterday where he said, as the arrest was going on, he got a request from CNN to comment on it, and CNN, you know, and he didn't know that he hadn't even heard yet that his client was being arrested, and CNN said, I want your comment on this, and emailed over. It was a draft of the arrest and search warrant record, a draft that had not yet been signed by the court. And it had a timestamp or something on it with the initials AAW. Now, you cannot get a draft of it except from the prosecutor's office because they're the only ones that draft it. You know, once it goes to the courthouse, maybe somebody at the courthouse could have done it, but you don't get a draft of it, and this was a draft form of it. And what that means is, despite their denials, the Mueller team, somebody in the Mueller team, and we think we know who, leaked to CNN, which, you know, had long been suspected, but it looks like they did leak to CNN the fact of the raid, and that's why CNN was there to film this over-the-top thing with 29 people in riot gear waving semi-automatic weapons at Roger Stone's wife. Now, you know, listeners have heard me be the number one defender of Robert Mueller's investigation from day one. But this is abusive. And AAW is almost certainly Andrew Weissman, who is Mueller's top deputy. And he's a guy who he brought down a lot of mob families. But he also is a big-time Democrat. He's one of these guys who's given thousands and thousands of dollars to Democratic partisan causes, and he plays such hardball that he's been unanimously reversed by the Supreme Court. He's the guy that convinced the jury to convict the entire Arthur Andersen firm, which sent them out of business and killed something like 10,000 jobs. And then that conviction was overturned by the Supreme Court unanimously, saying that no, you can't convict an entire firm for two or three people doing something wrong. So all of this adds up to an abusive, dangerous raid and a leak by a highly partisan guy who's already been rebuked one time massively by the Supreme Court. All of that together smells really, really bad.
You know, and if, Quinn, if they're trying to keep something like a leak on the down low, you know, that they're getting information at CNN, setting up and waiting for the raid on Roger Stone's house, I don't know. In poker, we would call that a tell.
Exactly. You would call that a very big tell. And what this is Weissman, and I'm just reading, you can Google Andrew Weissman, W-E-I-S-S-M-A-N, in New York Times, there was a big feature on him several months ago talking about what a tough guy he is and his hardball tactics and what he does. He loves to do these intimidation tactics to send a message to others that he might be after. Well, you know what that is? That's abuse. That is prosecutorial abuse, because prosecutors are just supposed to decide who to prosecute, who they think has committed a crime. They're not supposed to be in the business of trying to intimidate people into, you know, for fear of their lives, for goodness sakes, or something else, into, you know, some sort of false confession or whatever. This is absolutely abusive. It's wrong to leak it. It's wrong to do the raid for a white-collar criminal that's not going anywhere and that's clearly not going to try to shoot his way out. And it's wrong to use these heavy-handed tactics to try to send messages to other people. It is just wrong.
Yeah, you know, this reinforces two things that President Trump talks about. And he, you know, often will people will get their britches in a bundle. I've done it before when the president comments on the FBI or comments on the intelligence community, and also, obviously, comments on the mainstream media. But in a story like this, just this, you've got both mainstream media and anti-Trump media out there with CNN. At the same time, you have leaks like the Yangtze River coming out of the Mueller investigation to the media. And this reinforces what the president's saying.
Well, I agree with everything you said except for leaks from the Mueller investigation, because this is the first time that we've seen any sign that of a leak that actually would come from Mueller. Almost all of these other leaks actually probably came from defendants trying to get ahead of the story, and you know, and there are ways you can tell that this leak came from Mueller. But that aside, everything else you said is absolutely right. This is, you know, the president talks about the deep state, and I've fought that because it's BS. There's no vast conspiracy deep state running things. But there are some bad elements. And to the extent that these bad elements do these bad things, it allows Trump to spin this conspiracy theory about a massive deep state. Both sides are wrong, but the bad elements are the worst. Trump is right to complain. It's just that the way that he complains is over the top.
I'll say this, and you know, I'm sure I'll get some text that I'm just defending the president at every turn, but I think it is fair to say the man has, if you put the filter out there, I mean, hyperbole is his normal resting face, right? That hyperbole, I've finally learned to get through that.
You hyperbolize something that makes the entire or a huge swath of the country believe that their government is entirely controlled by nefarious forces. That's not just hyperbole, that's dangerous.
But the problem is, the president says something like that, and then you have a story that comes out that maybe not at the level of the hyperbole, but reinforces the basic core of what he's saying.
Well, that's my point, is that this is wrong. It's bad stuff that they're doing, and they therefore contribute to Trump's ability to say, see, I told you so, when what Trump's doing is dangerous and destabilizing on that end. But to the extent that you give him something to hold on to, you're doubly wrong. You're wrong in the first place for doing it. Abuse, and right. You're wrong in the second place for feeding this fear. And especially under these circumstances, this guy Weissman, if that's who indeed leaked this, and it certainly looks like it did, this guy should be treading very lightly right now rather than playing into the stereotype, because the Mueller investigation is right on the cusp of being entirely delegitimized, even though most of what it's done has been okay. But it's on the cusp of being publicly delegitimized, and this could push it over the edge where nobody's going to pay attention to it, and it will be this guy Weissman's own fault.
What do you think happens if there's, I mean, you cut through the chafe pretty quickly to figure out it's Weissman. What do you think? Does Mueller do something publicly, or what happens here?
Well, it's bizarre that the national media is not paying more attention to this latest thing that came out about the leak. And so they're not putting Mueller on the spot. But Mueller Mueller should get rid of this guy Weissman if indeed Weissman did it. Lindsey Graham is going to get to the bottom of it, because that's the other thing I didn't mention. He got so angry even before the proof of the leak came out. He got so mad at the over-the-top raid that he sent a letter to FBI Director Chris Wray 5 days ago, said that by today he needs a briefing from the FBI about what their standards are for armed raids, when they do them, why they did it to Roger Stone, why they felt the need to have 29 people in riot gear, and whether that is consistent with their other practices. He is on the case of the FBI, and the FBI, who, again, I usually defend, but they, I'm fact-based, and this is not the way that ordinary Americans expect their government to act. They do not expect to have their government come down like jackboots and trying to stomp people. There's something very scary about that.
All right. People want to talk about this more, read more on it. Where do they go?
I have written a number of things on this. Just Google Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, and I guess you can put Roger Stone in there. Or my latest, Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, Lindsey Graham. And you'll see what I've said about this. And this is hard for me because I've defended the Mueller investigation, but I'm honest. And this is abusive.
I appreciate that. And people can also pick up the trilogy, Mad Jones Heretic. How do they do it?
Mad Jones Heretic or Mad Jones Hero or Mad Jones Agonistes at Amazon.com.
There he is, Quinn Hillier. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Go on the phones next, 343-0106, 343-0106, plus State of the Union tonight. The State of Our Union is... It's interrogatory. You get to make the call. Coming right back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. State of the Union tonight, delayed by a week here, but the president gets started. I think Kelly said 8 o'clock our time?
8 o'clock our time,
which means
yes.
East Coast folks, I could not, just a side note, how long I could get a lot of kin there in the Eastern time zone, but everything's too late for me. It's just... 9 o'clock, the State of the Union starts. They watch their news like at 11 o'clock at night and stuff.
See, that's what I was used to growing up. 11 o'clock news.
Not
yeah.
having it. Not having it. Central or Mountain time
CST.
For me.
CST.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But and then that means they're going to have to stay up extra late to hear the rebuttal from the Democrats.
Right.
Stacey Abrams delivering that.
We'll see if Stacey has some cups of water. Marco
yes.
Rubio style.
Right.
Hold on. Let me go 6 feet over here and get a cup of water and drink it and come back. All right. Take those calls and text at 343-0106. Quick reminder, too, starting on Friday, 3 days, it's us at the Mobile Boat Show. Guides Corner, where we come out, we do some live shows. We have the best in fishing guides out there to talk with you. So you want to stop by and figure out how Captain Charlie Gray rigs his popping cork rig, or how Captain Bobby Abrascato likes to rig this jig, or live shrimp, or something like those kind of questions, or where they like to target fish. They're going to be there. Also from the freshwater side, Captain Wayne Miller, saltwater side with offshore side with Saltwater Fanatics, and a whole lot more. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll talk more about that, but it is the Guides Corner. With our show we do on the weekend, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, to the phones, and let's go to Baldwin County and talk to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Sean. I listened to your interview just a while ago, and I guess Quint, when he, I don't want to sound like a nutbag, but I kind of looked up the definition for deep state, because I hear it thrown out there a lot, both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition, basically what it says is deep state is a body typically influential members of government agencies and military believed to be involved in secret manipulation of the control of government policy. Deep state and its policy of allowing extremist ideologies to flourish may be the actual issues of concern. Whenever Trump says deep state, I'm clueless to the point to where, what is deep state? What is he talking about? Inside government, outside government, people working together outside of government, inside of government? Yeah. I believe all governments throughout the world has a form of deep state.
Whether you're saying whether they call it that or not.
And just the proof in the pudding was what he just said about this guy leaking information out to CNN. And of course, CNN being right there on the front of a raid type of thing, of getting this guy and arresting him on whatever charges they charged him with. But to me, when I look at policies and the way people act in government, it kind of leads you to the wondering, as to say, if there truly is part of the government that is working against the American people, the Constitution and those type of things, and the depth of it, who knows? But I don't want to say that there's no such thing as deep state in government, because I kind of believe there is, to a point. And
I think that's a pretty fair and well thought out discussion of deep state, Mike. One that maybe we have not heard before, seeing it maybe for what it is. And I wonder about that. You know, is there a deep state without players in a deep state knowing their deep state? Follow me? I mean, they're going through the motions, but they don't go, today I'm going to go do my job as a member of the deep state. You know, they don't identify that way, but things they're doing could be seen that way, way by we the people.
Exactly. If it's anything that's coming against the Constitution, coming against we the people as a nation, I have to question whether or not what form of group, if it's a deep state or whatever the case may be, what form of group is this? Are they Americans? Or are they Americans that want to change something into their mindset, socialism, communism, whatever the case may be? Because communism hasn't died. It's still flourishing everywhere that you see in Europe. But, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, is this something that we can just actually put out on the table and just have a rational discussion to say, is it alive? Is it dead? Does it exist? Does it not exist? Because I think a lot of people are curious, hey, does this really exist in our government? So that's just my...
Hey, man, it's a great call, Mike. Great call, and I think we'll spawn a lot of discussion in the second half of this hour, and I appreciate you chiming in. Because you wonder, too, I mean, you're talking about what it could be prompted by. I wonder if there's not a deep state element. Okay, I don't wonder. I've heard enough over time that members of government that have been there for a while will see things happening. I don't think it's socialism or communism. It's just their view of the way the system would work. And they say, hey, we're not going to uproot anything, but we may nudge things with our hip from time to time to try to keep them between the mayonnaise and the mustard here on this. Is that also deep state? I think it's fair to discuss, and we'll do it when we come back.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 here on FM Talk 106.5. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Let's talk about pre-owned vehicles. You guys have a nice selection at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, buddy, I tell you, pre-owned vehicles are really hard to shop for, and I think, Dalton, the reason why is just the words trust, is trust in what you're looking at as far as the vehicle and, of course, the price. And what we've done, Dalton, for really the last 63 years is taken a lot of pride in pre-owned vehicles. So I just want to invite anybody that's looking for one to shop our website, which is McConnellAutomotive.com with two C's, two N's, two L's. And Dalton, what they're going to find especially is an unbelievable selection of trucks and SUVs. So if you're looking for a two-year-old, three-year-old Z71 or a one- or two- or three-year-old Yukon or Tahoe, we just got an amazing selection. And I think what we do, Dalton, is we upfront price them, and we make sure that they're really the nicest vehicles around. And if you're shopping for an ordinary used car, we're probably not your dealership because ours are just super nice. But if you want the best price on something that you really can be proud of, McConnellAutomotive.com is the place to shop for them.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Mitch.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 838 FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Also works on the text line. We'd love to hear from you. And I want to run through a couple things real quickly here, because State of the Union tonight, and I saw a little rundown from Todd Stacey over at the Alabama Daily News. Thought this was interesting, as Todd said, what to watch for tonight, in his opinion. He's up there right now. He does his work in Montgomery, looking at Alabama, but right now he is in Washington talking to our federal contingent up there. He said, if you're looking for President Trump to use the State of the Union to declare a national emergency on the border situation, I think you'll be disappointed. So he, in Todd's opinion, he thinks it won't go there. Of course, that's one of the big, will he do that tonight? Yeah. This is Todd's opinion. A pretty smart guy, though. He's worked a long time in Washington and in Montgomery. Said he doesn't think that'll happen. This is kind of, I think this is brilliant because it mirrors kind of what I was saying earlier. So it must be brilliant. Look for the president to use this unique platform as a way to bring people to his side on issues by taking advantage of the tendencies in the room. Like, I don't think he is going to dog out Nancy Pelosi in that setting. I think he is going to set her up with some platitudes and some compliments and say, you know, she's going to, I can't wait for her to get on board with this or whatever it is. Something is something that he's going to do. I mean, because if you're in a negotiation, which is kind of what is going on, a public negotiation tonight, I think the savvy of the negotiation and the setting tonight, now you can bully one way the other, you know, other days, but you go to State of the Union tonight, you might break out the honey and leave the vinegar packed away.
I think this is going to kind of be like Thanksgiving, as far as there are courses to this meal. Do you know what I mean? And the setup is, the setup being, you know, all that are on President Trump's side, that they're talking to the media last night and this morning. They're warming up everyone. And he will deliver the main dish. And that's what he's supposed to do. And that dish is one that will be, I think it's going to be very consistent with who he is. But at the same time, it's not going to ruffle feathers the way you're hoping. Like, you're hoping this is, you know, rock'em sock'em type TV, and it's not going to be that at all. He's going to use that platform in a presidential manner, and that's to get a message out as to what he's hoping for in the coming year and all the victories that he's experienced thus far. I think it's going to be very mild in those terms.
Or it will be, it'd be subtle. And y'all know I love the word nuance here, and Todd uses it. He said, you'll pick a line. He said, know how the Republicans would typically applaud everything the president says while the Democrats would sit on their hands? Well, if you pick a line that nobody can really disagree with, lace it and tone it with nuance, you know you'll hit the Democrats in the eye and dare them to stay seated with awkward looks on TV. So you frame a sentence, you put the thing you want in there, but you bookend it with something else. Then will they, if they don't applaud, they're going to look bad because of whatever the bookends of that sentence are, but they're going to delay themselves for a second because of some nuance in what the president says. As Todd says, it's stagecraft, and there are a few better than Donald Trump. He has the ability to pull this off.
Yeah, he sure does. And one of those opportunities that he'll have for nuance and being able to say something that it will make awkward if the Democrats don't, you know, applaud or at least show on their faces that they feel the same way. The New York Times said that he's also likely to talk about abortion. Now, that's that's been a huge topic lately because of the comments made by Virginia Governor Ralph Northam on that radio interview. But the New York Times said that White House officials say that he will likely talk about abortion and the, quote, fundamental importance and respect for human life. Also bring up China's program of forced abortion and sterilization. So, like you said, kind of also setting up for the Democrats to speak after him. But as far as the abortion comment, using something that a Democrat made a major slip of in the last couple of weeks.
All right, let's go to the phones and say hello to Billy, the friendly Democrat. Hey, Billy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I was going to agree with that last caller that called in before the break there about the deep state, because I'm going to tell you, I've discovered the deep states everywhere. In fact, it's at my office. And there ain't nobody better than the support group, the secretarial and the runners and those folks to organize everybody else so that they get extra days off, or like the Monday before Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving, the Monday before Mardi Gras. They'll all agree, and they'll tell clients and vendors and stuff, we're not going to be open. So then when it comes along, they give me that shocked look, you know, like we're supposed to be open. That's what the hand manual says, you know. But that's how they work things. They all organize together behind, and they do kind of what they want to do. Now, sometimes you have to bring the hammer down, but if you bring the hammer all the time, then you're just a tyrant. So I believe there's a deep state everywhere you look. That's just my opinion on it. Getting them organized, that's the thing. I don't know, in the government, can you really have a big, overall organized deep state? Or is it little pockets of people,
man,
just pushing their agenda?
Preach. Billy, I think you're right. You know, that's one of the things I go round and round when people lay out these widespread conspiracies to me. And I go, do you believe that hundreds of people could keep a secret? I mean, try getting three people to keep a secret. You believe hundreds of people. But do I think there are people that do the old hip nudge, you know, to keep things between what they see as the inside the roadway, between the mayonnaise and the mustard here on this. I do think that happens, but that is not somebody going, okay, we're going to organize with Billy and Sean and Kelly and Dalton. We're all getting together. We're having these meetings, and we're going to change. Maybe there's some element of that trying to happen at some point, but I think what happens more is, hey, here's how we see. This is how it works. We know how it works. We know what's real and what's kind of a contrived fantasy. So we're not going to be able to change the law, but we can kind of steer things to keep them as they are, right? Or the way we think they should be.
Spot on. You hit it. There it is.
I know that's not.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too, Billy, and I always appreciate your call.
I love that laugh. That's the you just
great.
Need that. Yeah.
But I mean, that may be. And listen, it may be shown that there is some widespread, you know, massive conspiracy, and they have meetings, and they're, you know, they've got badges and name cards, and they all have secret handshakes or something. That may be shown one day. But I think in reality, as Quinn mentioned, you know, was talking about what happened with the FBI leak, I think there are smaller pockets, and I think that exists, like Billy said, it exists in your office, it exists in whatever civic group you're in.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of deep state in everything. The difference is here, these people have the power of a gun. And you know, I've walked that before, walked it through before. Put the IRS. Pick a government agency, and I can walk a scenario through to you where it ends up they have the power of the gun, they have the power of the state. That's what makes this a lot bit different than other scenarios. So if it's going on, this is why it has to be vetted out. The scrutiny has to be higher. They have to be beyond reproach, because at the end of that equation, however long and complex the equation is, they got the gun pointed at you. I'm not saying the individual, I don't think people want to point a gun at you. What I'm saying is they have the force of power with government. So if your folks in your civic group have a deep state part where they're trying to make sure you don't move the meetings to this place or Wednesday night, they're trying to keep them on Tuesday night, that's one thing. They're never going to be able to come raid your home. In the case of pockets of deep state-ish, air quotes here, that go on in government, eventually that could lead to a situation where the outcome is not for the people, but it's for some individual's view of what the country should do.
But I think at every level, we're aware of the meetings that happen before the meetings of the meetings to the meetings, right? They happen on golf courses, they happen over drinks, they happen at parties, all that good stuff. But like you said, I mean, this is a totally different ball game when it comes to impacting so many people. The White House has released an excerpt of the president's speech, saying that he will say this evening, quote, "Together we can break decades of political stalemate. We can bridge old divisions, heal old wounds, build new coalitions, forge new solutions, and unlock the extraordinary promise of America's future. The decision is ours to make."
There we go.
So expect the president to say that this evening.
And then you could, like, quote it before he finishes the line and impress the friends that are there with you, like some sort of parlor trick. That would be...
This is an interesting note, though. This is will be Judge Kavanaugh's first State of the Union.
There
Did you know that?
And what happens, they haze him somehow, right, for his first one? He has to do push-ups or something?
We need Tony Romo on this, because he would be able to call who's going to say what in reaction, in real time.
Yeah, when like the other night when he said, I think he just said Reagan. Reagan means they're going to run right. You heard that?
Well, he did say the Rams only have 3 points.
Yeah, well, hey, be right back. 851 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, and of course you at 343-0106. I want to invite y'all over to my house on Twitter, too, at FM Talk 106.5, live tweeting State of the Union tonight, and we have a lot of fun there. If you've not signed up on Twitter, go do that, and make sure to first follow at FM Talk 106.5, and we'll make it fun tonight. It's a little different than this show, because there's not as many rules, Federal Communications Commission rules to steer things, but we do this during events like State of the Union. So tonight, check it out. Hop online with us, Twitter, at FM Talk 106.5. Speaking of tonight, Auburn Hoops on here, which moves two guys and some change to 1 o'clock today. So Midday Mobile today from noon to 1, all about State of the Union and what's coming up this evening. And then two guys and some change, Ron, Angelo, and the crew, they start at 1 this afternoon, go from 1 to 2 before the Paul Feinbaum show.
And I just wanted to add, since we're talking about Twitter, what I've done thus far, if you hop on my Twitter timeline, is I've shared with you the different sides. You know, we've got two sides that are going to be listening to the State of the Union and the various people who are bringing their respective guests. Yes. So I think it's always interesting to see. You can't just be so one-sided and say, I'm only a Democrat, and I only care who the Democrats are bringing. Or I'm only a Republican, and I only care who the Republicans are bringing. The cool thing is these are Americans. And so you get to see, prior to tonight, who's coming and why. What was the purpose? Why did that respective representative want to bring that specific person? What's their story? So at Kelly K2K Finley, and you can see from both sides as to how the guest list is shaping up.
All right, and also follow all of my friends' social media platforms, because you need a motivator to give back to your community. If we're all at one-tenth the level of the Finleys, we're doing pretty awesome. Y'all's give back is great stuff. I mean, really, really is. All right, let's go to the telephones. I don't know if you're calling in on a smartphone or a Sports Illustrated football phone, but John is in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Kelly, one of the Democrats I know has said she's bringing an illegal immigrant. So,
which one is that one?
I don't know, but
John, we're having a little trouble hearing you. Can you get closer to the phone, or?
Oh, I think I know who you are. Are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a lot better, John.
Can you
do that again for the rest of us? You said, what was your comment?
One of the Democrats is bringing an illegal immigrant.
Is this one of the women who worked at President Trump's golf course?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
It looks like that's what Vox says.
As far as tonight, I firmly expect the Democrats to show their rear ends. Somebody will probably get up and walk out or stand up and turn their back and show who they really are. But I don't think they hate Trump more than they love the country. And I just think
it's a pretty big blanket.
This could be really funny. This could be really funny tonight, but I think they're playing right into Trump's hands.
What do you think the president, like I said earlier, will set up, like even Todd Stacey was talking about, set something out that is a nuance? Like it's a sentence or a paragraph that has, maybe bookends of things that every American should cheer for, but some nuance of wall policy or something else in there, and kind of dare them not to stand up and applaud?
Yeah. And the yesterday on Fox, and I might have said this yesterday, but Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda, I think is her name. Mm-hmm. She said something during an interview about Northam. And she said, and she's absolutely right when she says this, but what Northam described is a post-birth abortion, an abortion of all kinds, is a crime against humanity. And this guy asked her, do you think he should resign? She said, I think he should go back and not recant, but all the pro-abortion laws that he has signed since he's been governor, he needs to, what's the word I'm looking for? Not repeal, well, reject or something, everything he did, because that's a crime against humanity. And the other thing that's going to be interesting tonight is Ruth Bader Ginsburg going to be there? Because she hadn't been seen in public.
Yeah, I saw a story that she was, yesterday was her first day back out.
Yeah, you know, and she did not attend the last State of the Union with President Trump at the helm. So this may not, she has been released, she's back to work, but, you know, the bets are that she will not be there, and it has nothing to do with her health.
And rescind was the word you're looking for.
Right. That's right. Thanks.
Yep. You're welcome, man. I appreciate the call.
A follow-up on what John was referring to. Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman from New Jersey invited a former housekeeper, according to Vox.com, an undocumented housekeeper, 45-year-old immigrant from Guatemala, Victorina Morales, who worked for Trump at Trump National Golf Club for about 5 years, more than 5 years as a housekeeper. So she's been invited from a New Jersey representative to be at the State of the Union tonight.
All right. We will watch all the guests as they come out. But it's going to be interesting to the message, you know, you heard yesterday Sarah Sanders talk about this unity message. We're talking about that. I wonder what the tenor, I think maybe we won't see such ham-fisted delivery from President Trump as he often does, where he kind of throws something out there and sees a reaction, but maybe some deft and some nuance in it, which will make, to me, it more interesting if he phrases things where the Democrats are going to have to, do I stand up and applaud? Because that's a real American thing. But in the middle of the sentence, he said something that I kind of don't agree with, but then at the end of the sentence, it was another American thing. I would love, that's the kind of, I know it's probably lost on a lot of, but I don't think it's lost on y'all in this audience. That's the kind of stuff I find fun, because that's the political rhetoric where you put a little, where you watch somebody go, I don't know how I react to that.
So they see how their friends.
Yes, that's where they look up and down the row and see, hey, what's so-and-so doing? Okay, then I'll get up.
We know President Trump is keenly aware of the camera, and he knows it does not blink. And he will make the most of this evening. I don't know. I'm going to keep it there.
Right.
I'm excited to watch, because I'm excited to watch what happens in the audience and what happens with our commander-in-chief and our Speaker of the House and our Vice President. All eyes are on those three.
Yep. They're at there's no picking their nose.
No.
There could be as many props on this tonight as there were the Super Bowl.
I think there's going to be a lot of prop bets.
I think so.
Do you think the big gavel will be there?
Nancy Pelosi's gavel is as big as the thing you use in the high striker at the fair. By the way, our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, how do you feel about the state of our union? Let us know what you think when you vote online. Front page, fmtalk1065.com.